Falun Gong is freely practiced in over 40 countries around the world, but relentlessly persecuted in China. The peaceful courage of practitioners there has shocked their oppressors and moved the people of the world. While China continues to block all information, FGM-TV brings you the stories you may not hear anywhere else. Hello, and welcome to FGM-TV on Tuesday, November the 6th, 2001. I'm Susan Mitchell. Some of our stories this week. Artist Zhang Zuying, who survived torture in a Chinese labor camp, has a successful art exhibit in Germany. New Falun Dafa associations and websites are established in Europe. Practitioners introduce Falun Dafa to West Papua, Indonesia. SOS walks continue to take the urgent rescue message forward. And in this week's update from China, the number of Falun Gong practitioners verified to have died while in detention is 306 as of today, although government sources in China say that the actual number exceeds 1,000. Police in China, stories of the bad and the good. Kidnapping cases in Guangzhou City of Guangdong Province. Torture escalates in labor camps throughout China. Wanjia labor camp is in the news again. Toronto practitioners hold a candlelight vigil to bring attention to the escalating death count. No one wants to work in the 610 offices because they'll be listed as vicious people with their names posted on the internet. And Peace and Compassion Day in Toronto. Thousands enjoy an afternoon festival of music and peace in front of Toronto's City Hall. Ms. Zhang Zuying is an artist and a Falun Dafa practitioner from Australia who was rescued from a labor camp in China with the help of the Australian government after she was tortured for refusing to give up her beliefs. She's been traveling the world to give people first-hand accounts of the persecution in China and to show her beautiful paintings. Recently, she held an exhibition in Hamburg, Germany. One of the visitors was an elderly Chinese gentleman who came by taxi to attend the opening ceremony after he saw the roadside advertisement for the painting exhibition. He wrote a special poem for her, praising Ms. Zhang's artistic accomplishments and righteous personality of insisting on truth by not bending to political power. The Falun Dafa Associations of Denmark and Belgium were recently established in October, and a new Hebrew website is now up and running. And photos from the SOS walks through Europe. And from The Hague in the Netherlands. On October the 20th, 2001, about 120 Falun Dafa practitioners from Britain, France, Germany, Ireland, and the Netherlands gathered on the square in front of the World Court in The Hague. Many war criminals have been tried and sentenced in that building. The statement read at the press conference strongly demanded that Jiang Zemin's government immediately release practitioner Zhao Ming at Trinity College in Dublin. And they appealed to the international community to make more efforts to rescue Zhao Ming. The speech also demanded that Jiang Zemin's government dismantle and abolish the 610 office that was established to carry out the crackdown on Falun Gong, and that they should immediately stop the persecution of Falun Gong practitioners. From October the 21st to the 23rd, global rescue walk activities were held in Madrid, Spain, including a parade, a press conference, and a large-scale exercise demonstration, with about 100 Falun Gong practitioners from Taiwan and others from Argentina, Canada, Britain, Germany, and Sweden. Moving now to news from China, Mr. Liu Liangyi from Hebei Province was arrested on October the 31st, 1999, simply because he practiced Falun Gong. He was held in the Jing County Detention Center and constantly beaten and kicked by the inmates in his cell, under orders from the prison guards. One of the criminal inmates was a man in his 20s called Zhu Yongshan. At lunchtime, the day after being brutally kicked repeatedly in the stomach by Mr. Zhu, Mr. Liu suddenly collapsed, holding his chest. He writhed in agony, lost control of his bowel and bladder functions, and within half an hour had stopped breathing. After his death, police blocked all information and told his family that he had died of a heart attack, even though Mr. Liu had absolutely no history of heart disease. Ms. Liu Qinghua was an accomplished woman in her mid-30s who was the people's representative of Dehui City in the northern province of Changchun. She was also the women's director of her local area and had been awarded the titles of March the 8th Flag Bearer, a model female Chinese citizen, and outstanding Communist Party member. Ms. Liu was a devoted wife and the mother of a young son. She was also a Falun Gong practitioner, and for that, she was killed in March 2000. It has taken 1.5 years to smuggle out of China the details of her death by force feeding. This escalation in the number of deaths by torture prompted Toronto Falun Dafa practitioners to hold a candlelight vigil in front of the Chinese consulate last night. A brief statement was read, and the solemn scene was witnessed by many people returning home from work. Numerous Falun Gong practitioners are missing from the South China University of Technology and other schools in Guangzhou City of Guangdong Province. They are believed to have been kidnapped, mainly by authorities from the 610 office, the all-powerful agency with a mandate to persecute Falun Gong. Names of some of the missing are as follows. 37-year-old Ms. Jiang Wenyi, who is a lecturer in the architecture department. 36-year-old Ms. Chen Feng, a lecturer at the College of Transportation. 30-year-old Ms. Yang Wei, a staff member of the architecture department. Ms. Tan Lu Ping, about 40 years old, and a staff member at the College of Architecture. Long Ji Hua, 37 years old, and a teacher of the College of Architecture. Ms. Xu Ming, over 40 years old, a teacher at the Guangzhou Normal School of Music, who is known to be imprisoned in the brainwashing class in Guangzhou Law School. Ms. Xu Juhua, 40 years old, who is an English teacher at Guangzhou Light Industry Technical School. Ms. Mei Chang Feng, 61 years old, who is an associate professor at the South China University of Technology. Ms. Feng Zhangshen, a 67-year-old retired teacher. And Ms. Pang Xiaoping, 37 years old, from Guangzhou Jinan University. Li Kanqing, from the Tumor Research Institute in Henan Province, was kidnapped on October the 16th. And in Shijiazhuang City of Hebei Province, Sun Jinhu was kidnapped and taken to Hebei Province Brainwashing Center. We want to remind our viewers that the laws passed by the government of China violate the Constitution of the People's Republic of China, as well as international treaties to which China is signatory. However, not all authorities are bad. The police chief friend of a non-practitioner recently affirmed that he's familiar with the principle that good will be rewarded with good and evil with evil, and said, "I have never done anything wrong to mistreat Falun Gong. If this situation is reversed in the future, I will not be afraid. I don't feel guilty when I examine my own heart." Here's a story from the first detention center of Anlu. Falun Dafa practitioner Ms. Pang Juying, in her 30s, and a resident of Hu Guo village, was forcefully dragged away from home by four police officers and locked up in a room in the police department for 5 days and 6 nights. During this period, the police beat her fiercely and handcuffed her with her hands over her head, which is a particularly painful position. Finally, a policeman called Chen Xinrun put two snakes into a braided bag and forcefully put Pan Juying's hands into the bag. While that was happening, another policeman named Shen Chao Li Lin shouted, "We intend to make you a lunatic and make you run down the street naked. That way we can tell people that you became a lunatic after you practiced Falun Gong." Tonghua labor camp in Jilin province has illegally imprisoned a large number of Falun Dafa practitioners and committed many crimes against them, for instance. Mr. Xu Hongjun was a physics teacher in a middle school. One day, when he heard one of his students cursing people in his class, he tried to persuade the student to stop by explaining to him the importance of acting civilized and by talking about the universal principles of truth, compassion, and forbearance. He also loaned the student a copy of the book Juan Falun, The Teachings of Falun Dafa. Someone reported this to the local public security bureau, and on September the 28th, 2001, local police officers came to arrest Mr. Xu. When he tried to escape, the police chased after him in two cars. As they approached a market, they suddenly headed their cars straight at Mr. Xu and knocked him down in front of a large crowd. Although he was in severe pain while lying there on the ground, Mr. Xu spoke to the crowd, explaining the truth of Falun Gong. The police jumped out, threw him into one of their cars, drove off, and took him straight to Tonghua labor camp. Mr. Xu has only recently been allowed to leave the labor camp under guard to obtain medical treatment for his injured legs. A practitioner recently received a most encouraging letter from a childhood friend who is now a policeman in China. He wrote in part, "I know all of the truth you tried to clarify to me. Actually, most of the people here know clearly that the propaganda on TV and radio is false. Anyone who lived through the Cultural Revolution will not be easily fooled. At the present time, right and wrong are turned upside down. The upper-level authorities are forcing us to arrest people, even during the holidays. Who among us is not complaining? Although I do not believe in Falun Gong, I know that you are all really good people. Many who are eager to be involved in the persecution of Falun Dafa are people who actually have all kinds of problems, but they are protected by the higher-ups. However, there are quite a few who still have a conscience. We have used the convenience of our jobs to very carefully record details about the persecution towards Falun Dafa, especially those cases where Falun Gong practitioners have been tortured to death or disabled. All of this is evidence and can be useful in the future. Those who committed wrong deeds can never imagine in their dreams that some of us working beside them are collecting the evidence of their criminal acts. You probably never thought of this because you're currently overseas. As a matter of fact, people all know this is the second cultural revolution, and there must be a day of redress." Practitioners being held in the Wanjia labor camp in Harbin City have begun a hunger strike to protest their detention. Ever since several Falun Gong practitioners were tortured to death there, the guilty ones from the political and security section of Mishan City Police Department, Heilongjiang Province, have been repeatedly obstructing the media to prevent them from disclosing these cases. They have also threatened the victims' family members, saying that if they were found to be in contact with foreign journalists and granting interviews, quote, "the entire family would disappear," end of quote. Moving out of China now and to the interior of West Papua, Indonesia, where a Falun Gong practitioner trekked for a week in the Balim Valley. She spent four nights in Sio Kosimo, where she showed the exercises to Dani tribe villagers. The photos are digital images from extensive video footage. Like children in other countries, the Dani children were really enthusiastic about learning the Falun Gong exercises. The Balim Valley has been characterized as one of the few remaining paradises on Earth. Until 25 years ago, the valley inhabitants were living a Stone Age existence, and even today there's no electricity, running water, or other modern utilities. And on the other side of the world, Falun Gong practitioners in Russia hold a weekly poster exhibition and exercise demonstration in downtown St. Petersburg, where they also distribute SOS flyers advising of the persecution in China. And finally, Peace and Compassion Day in Toronto. Thousands enjoyed an afternoon of music, dance, culture, and a sharing of hopes for peace and kindness in our world at a festival in Nathan Phillips Square in front of Toronto's City Hall. Local politicians and VIPs add their voices of support for human rights in the world. Doves take flight as a symbol of peace and in memory of 306 practitioners known to have been murdered by Chinese authorities when they refused to renounce their beliefs. Balloons, speeches, children. singing, and dancing, all in an atmosphere of serenity and community, a get-together of some of the many cultures that make up the mosaic of Toronto's citizens to celebrate peace and compassion. Thanks for watching FGM TV, dedicated to breaking through China's information blockade, revealing propaganda, and bringing you the truth of Falun Gong.